Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the sixth year of the Hijrat, the peace treaty at Hudaybiyah was signed, and both people in Medina and Makkah Mukarrama had the assurance that there's not going to be any war until the termination of this treaty. And this treaty was to last for the next 10 years. And both sides had to keep to their side of the deal. There'll be no war. There'll be no ill feeling. Each group will respect the other. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's personality was, يَدْ لَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالسَّيِّئَةَ. He will avoid trouble. He will not like a confrontation, argument, a debate. That was not his style. His whole approach was about peace. Bring about a peaceful situation, circumstance for all. Everybody must enjoy. Nobody tramps the next person's right. Nobody's encroaching the next person. So that was the whole approach of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore, this whole peace treaty, it went in that direction. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi didn't want any confrontation, any fight, any bloodshed. لا يدفع السيئة بالسيئة ولكن يعفو ويصفح. His whole style was not to confront, but to forgive, to overlook. But at the same time, in such a manner that nobody is affected. To be considered, but in such a manner that no person's right is being encroached upon or trampled upon. So we understand that there is a parameter in deen, a boundary, and the boundaries are made for our own good. It's not to show that we are very hard people, it's not to show that we don't have any type of consideration, but it is for our own good. The law also has certain rules in place, and the rules are for the good for the citizens. Like, the law will say that you travel at a certain speed on this road. So, it's not that they want to make things difficult, but for your own safety, they say, all right, travel at this speed on this road. Now, if you're going to violate that law, then it's going to be dangerous for you and for the other motorists as well. So the same, the law in Islam is for our own good. Allah Ta'ala doesn't benefit, and nor does وَلَكِ يُرِيدُ يُلِيطَهِرَكُمْ مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He doesn't want to, he doesn't intend to put any difficulties, but to make deen and life enjoyable and comfortable for every person. Islam has got a structure, and the structure is well defined. It's not a structure without a definition, and it's not a definition without a structure. So there is a structure, and the structure is well defined. And this is the beauty, and this is the excellence of Islam, and exclusive to Islam, that they've shown you some structures, but it's defined the structures as well. This is the boundary. This is where you start off from. So it's not left a structure without defining. You are allowed, prior to marriage, you are allowed to go and see the girl of your choice. Right? So Islam makes that provision that you are allowed. Go and see. But then Islam defines everything, and Islam is the most refined. So it's defined and it's refined. Made it in such a way, and there's so much of refinement that every person enjoys. Whoever it is, but he enjoys the defining and the refined process of Islam. So when, in the process of seeing a girl for the intention of marriage, Islam says, alright, you are interested in the girl, you heard about her, then do your homework as well, find out. And obviously, the man can't do the homework. So he'll ask his woman, alright, go and find out the girl, her background, her history, what her habits, is she conducive, compatible to us or not. So all this homework is done. And the suitable person to do the homework is the woman folk. Man, how much can he do? He can't go into a woman's personal life. But a woman to woman, they can find out. Is she compatible? Is she the right person? Is the choice right or not right? So to this extent, Islam is allowed. And if it is just, it's undefined, then it's a wild goose chase. Then you will end up in what is customary today, what they say, samosa run. A samosa run is, you didn't do any homework, running from one to the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. So someone may well ask, so what's wrong in that? In a wild goose chase, wild goose chase, what's wrong in it? So there's a lot of problems in it. So you went to one, and she made up her best, she dressed up, she prepared herself for the occasion, everything was done. And now for some reason, you didn't like her. Now she feels very depressed in her mind and heart that I made all the preparation and I was rejected. On your side, you will talk ill about the girl. Well, she's all right, but her nose is not right. Her forehead is not right. Her hair is not right. So I'm not too impressed. So now you're going to go and talk about this. And people, they may have been genuine suitors, but they will not be interested here. Now, her integrity, her family's integrity, everything is affected. So Islam says, alright, go and find out about the girl properly, do your homework. And after you have done your homework properly, everything that you needed to know, you knew about. Now it may be just one or two persons you're going to see, and you will confirm the thing, because all the homework is done. And in business, this is the rule that we apply. You're going to do some business in China, for example, right? So, you know, it's a lot of money that you're going to be laying out. So you're going to do all your homework properly, carefully. You know, I'm laying out 1 million. So I need to see that I'm doing my homework well before you lay out that money. You will not just lay out that money. So obviously, if money has got so much of respect, a human being has got much more respect. So you'll do your homework and then you'll do the confirmation. Islam is not only defined, but it's refined as well. So, prior to the marriage, premarital, there's not going to be any type of premarital relationship, no WhatsApp, and no type of relationship. Therefore, the hadith says, now you've seen the person, now then do the marriage. You've seen the person, you're happy with the person, then what's the delay? Now, if you're going to change from Islam to any other definition, to any other structure, then there's going to be problems. Now, you're going to be dating today, then you'll be courting the next day, and you'll be doing something on the other, then there'll be a fight, there's a fallout, then the whole house is in a mess. People are asking, what happened here, what happened there? And there's bad taste on both ends. So Islam says, all right, you take your time and find out the right person. After you've made that choice of yours, then confirm the nikah straight away. There mustn't be any delay. So you see, it's got a structure, got a definition. The boundaries are well defined. So there is no room for bad, no room for distaste. The distaste comes when we are mixing other structures into Islam. Well, the West can do it. They can have a thing like dating and courting, etc. So why don't we have that same? So that means what we are saying effectively, that we are saying that Rasulullah is not our imam. Azwaj al-Mutahharat, the respected wives of Nabi Sam, are not our imam now, but the West is going to be our imam. If they are doing a certain thing in a certain style, then we will dump the way, we will abandon the way of Nabi Sam, and we'll go on to a new structure. Then you're trying to marry kufr against Islam, disbelief against belief. Obviously there's going to be a mess. So Islam has defined structures, and defined it very well. Very, very well is defined. So there's no, has left no room for any type of ill feelings, disputes, fallouts, etc. Therefore, if you look at our community, say 55, 60 years ago, there was hardly a divorce case. There was hardly a marital problem. Because the people, our grandfathers, etc., they had an understanding of deen. Though they may have not been so literate, or they didn't know English so well, but they had the essence of deen. When they had the essence and the spirit of deen, so very seldom did you hear of a breakdown in a marriage or a divorce. I don't say it didn't occur, but very seldom. So in everything, Islam has got a structure and it's defined. It's defined its boundaries, it's defined its parameters. And now it is for us that we take the initiative to find out. One is the structure and one is the spirit of the structure. And both are important, not just the structure, the borders, as well as what's the spirit that's required in a marital home. Nonetheless, we're talking about structures and the different levels that Islam has offered us. So one is a level in a social atmosphere, one is a level of dealing business, right? As far as dealing and business is concerned, Islam has allowed you to deal with a non-Muslim. You can buy, you can sell, you can do contracts, you can lease, buy, sell, contracting, doing business with a non-Muslim. Islam has allowed it. Islam has never discouraged you. But yes, within parameters. Again, so in that dealing of yours, you want to be fair. Though he's a non-Muslim, but it doesn't give you the license to rob him or to cheat him or to be unfair towards him. He's selling you a product, or you selling the product. Islam says, yes, you've got the right to sell, but you make sure that you are dealing and you're dealing fair. So in your dealing also, that person can see, all right, this is the Islamic ethos that I see in this dealing. So outwardly it may seem that you're doing a business, but really you are a representative of Islam. You haven't let Islam down. So that person also is seeing, but this is something else. So you are fair. Number two, you are honest in your dealing. Even though it's a non-Muslim, he may be illiterate, he may not know about finance, etc. But that doesn't give you the license to rob the person or to cheat the person or to mislead the person. Sometimes you may not rob, you may not cheat, but you can mislead the person. His budget, right? And the way you're encouraging him, the way you're marketing the product, that he's going beyond his budget. If he's going beyond his budget, obviously he's going to be, you're putting him into problems. But you are more interested in the wealth than the well-being of that person. So Islam says, no, you don't have that approach. You be considerate. He's got a wife, he's got children, etc. So you need to be considerate in that respect as well. Don't you dupe him in a way that his intelligence is suppressed and he can't reason anywhere. He can't reason well. So this is with regards to dealing, interacting in deals, contracts, leases, etc. Then there is a second thing in Islam. And the second thing is about showing compassion, showing regards, compassion, helping out, assisting, supporting, right, kindness. So in this regards, in helping, supporting, in showing compassion, etc., then Islam is second to none in regards to compassion, kindness, fair play, justice. Then Islam is, and a Muslim is second to none. And we've seen it, just now we see it in the looting, we saw it in the flooding, that there was no one that was showing that level of compassion, that level of kindness, that level of generosity with anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim, but Islam showed it. Obviously, we're not going to be proud of ourselves. Yes, we're proud of the religion that we're following. That religion, that deen, that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us that when the enemies of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were in constraints in Makkah, and remember, they were those people that had actually driven Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of Makkah Mukarramah. They had driven him. Right? They were bloodthirsty. They came out at war with him. They did everything. But when they were in constraints and difficulty, Rasulullah didn't have that approach. Well, these were the people. May Allah's curse be upon them. See what they have done to me, to my family. My dear Zainab, she's passed away because of this. What they have done. So he didn't bear grudge for them. He said, when they are in constraints now, let's see what we can do to relieve them, to bring some relief, to bring some help. So in today's terms, he would say, as though Nabi Sam had sent tons and trucks loads of essentials to Makkah Mukarramah. So this is the second level. One is the dealing, and the second structure is about helping at the time of difficulty, crisis, calamity, etc. So even if it's an enemy, we'll help him, we'll be fair to him. Then there's this third structure, and this third structure is known as called Muwalat. Muwalat is becoming close, having an affinity, a close relationship. So this close relationship is only supposed to be with a Muslim, not a Muslim, not a non-Muslim. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاة in Surah Al Imran. Allah is explaining this, that a Muslim will not take up a non-Muslim as a close friend. So its dealing is different. Your acts of kindness and generosity, compassion is different. And taking the person into intimacy, into your confidence, having a close relationship, a whole close friendship, then that is something exclusive with a friend, with a Muslim, not with a non-Muslim. Allah warns, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ And whoever does this, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْنِ And he is not connected to Allah, he's broken away. You're gone in a different route, because that person is my enemy. And you are becoming close to my enemy. It's your father's enemy. He did a lot of wrong to your father. And then you are becoming his buddy. Is it making sense? No, no, he's my father's enemy when he's done. So I'm not going to take him as a buddy, as a friend, as a close, intimate friend. I'm not going to do that. Yes, when I need to be compassionate, I'll be compassionate. When I need to show kindness, I will do it. When I need to be fair and honest, I will do it. But take him into my confidence, no, I will not do that. And Allah Pak wants, if you're going to be doing that, remember that you got nothing to do with me. مَنْ يَفَعْ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ Then you got no relationship with me. Now those that did this, and employed the intelligence, the reason, why can't we show that type of love and that type of friendship with the next? Then they saw the consequence, what happened afterwards. Not many years ago, I won't take the name, but there was a famous politician, and he went being close to them, etc., etc. And it was just a matter of time before he lost his religion, he became an apostate, became murtad. Right? Famous politician. Then he married someone. There was also an atheist perhaps, right? Now he died. In that whole process, he passed away. Now the family of the deceased, obviously, they were a sentimental attachment. When they got a sentimental attachment, said, no, it was our man, and we got reasons to prove that he was a Muslim. Now outwardly, there's no Islam. He's a rejected Islam. When he's a rejected Islam, the family has just got a sentimental relationship, and because of the sentiments, they want to take the body. The wife says, no, it's my husband, he's not left a bequest, I've got the right, married in community, I've got the right. And I got the right, she made sure that body was cremated, burnt. Now, he's burnt in this world, khuda jaane ke akhirat mein kya hoga? He's burnt to ashes here. What's going to happen on that side, Allah knows. Now, that becomes the result, you see. So, our reasoning and our understanding is just to the nose, but we want to play God and try and challenge the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah said something in the Quran Sharif, it may take you years before you can understand the philosophy, the goodness, the wisdom inside. But your luck and your fortune is the command of Allah Ta'ala, then sami'na wa ta'ana. And what am I supposed to be doing in face of the law of Allah Ta'ala? Listen and I obey. And it will take me time before I understand the philosophy, the wisdom, the hikmat in that. But that doesn't mean that the law of Allah is subject to my reason. Because your reasoning is at one level now, today. In 20 years, your reasoning may be totally different. Like you see science, it's ever changing. Today, they say, the Chinese scientists are saying something. In the next 10 years, the whole theory may just take a turn. So you can't subject the law of Allah Ta'ala to someone that is eternal. He knows his wisdom contains all times. It transcends times and place. So we can't subject the law of Allah Ta'ala to our wisdom and our reasoning. Allah Ta'ala can rest of it.